Good morning, everyone. This is a reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are all filled with new wine."
But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents of the heaven and heaven above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Ed. Great job on all those names. Well, the trick they say is just say it with confidence, because nobody's going to dispute you, you know, so. But let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this day as we celebrate your coming of the Holy Spirit. And we call upon your Spirit right now to take away anything that might hinder us from hearing the message clearly and accepting it in our lives. We pray that you will bless us with your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. So the structure will be really big. It'll be as tall as the Eiffel Tower and wide, stretching the length of some of the world's largest cruise ships. Built as an enormous metal grid, it'll contain 126 wind turbines. It'll float on a platform anchored to the ocean floor using the same technology employed by the oil and the gas industry. And they will call it Wind Catcher. A Norwegian company is developing this new system to generate electricity from wind power. And Fast Company magazine reports that when it becomes operational next year, it could deliver 5 times the annual energy of the world's largest single turbine. And that's because the system is 3 times taller than the average turbine, exposing the blades to higher wind speeds. And the wind catcher blades will be smaller than those on a typical windmill, which will enable them to spin much faster. So imagine 126 turbines spinning in an enormous grid. And the position of the grid in deep water will enable it to catch the strongest of winds. So, numbers, size, location, put these elements together and you have a single structure that will generate enough electricity to run 80,000 European homes. So that's really a lot of power if you think about it. Well, Windcatcher is still on the drawing boards. So they can't for certain, you know, say how it will perform. And there are some questions like, well, what happens when a big storm or a hurricane hits it? Will it be able to withstand a hurricane or freak storm or even rough seas? Will these blades chop up seabirds at an alarming rate? So those are some of the questions that still need to be answered. What we see in our passage from the book of Acts is that the apostles get a recharge. The 12 of them were gathered in Jerusalem for a harvest festival called Pentecost, meaning 50th day. It was the 50th day after the celebration of Passover. And Jews from all around the Mediterranean region were gathered to celebrate this festival in Jerusalem. All those different people that Ed mentioned in our scripture reading this morning, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, along with residents of a dozen other regions. And the 12 apostles were sitting in a house in Jerusalem, probably feeling uncertain and a bit powerless. Yes, they had seen and had been inspired and energized when Jesus was raised to new life on Easter morning, but his time among them had come to an end just a few days earlier on the day of Ascension, when Jesus was taken up to heaven as they watched him and a cloud hid him from their sight. So now what were they supposed to do? Suddenly, there was a noise from heaven, like the sound of a mighty wind. It filled the house where they were meeting. This wind was as fast as the air that rushes at high altitude. It was as strong as the breeze that blows over the deep ocean. But this was not a hurricane or a freak storm. No, this power came from God. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak different languages by the power the Holy Spirit was giving them. I guess you could say that the apostles became wind catchers. They were now powered by the Holy Spirit. So they were effective because of their numbers. Because there were 12 of them, not just one. So many of God's previous power people had been individuals like John the Baptist and Mary and Jesus. I mean, they were all big turbines, but now God was working through a community, just like the wind catcher employs an array of turbines. The apostles were also the right size. They were small. Small in the sense that they were not the big shots of religion or politics. They were not people who made an impression on others with their insights and their influence. In fact, when they began to speak in other languages, the God-fearing Jews from other nations were utterly amazed. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, aren't these all Galileans? How come are we hearing them talk in various of our mother tongues? So what was happening here? Aren't these people all from Galilee? Because you see, Galilee was the back country. It was the boondocks. It was the sticks. And certainly no one expected a group from Galilee to be able to master all the diverse languages of the world. And these people were definitely not multilingual until the day of Pentecost. And the apostles were also in the right place. They were in Jerusalem. They were gathered for a religious festival, which was a good place to be as they showed their devotion to God. But their position in Jerusalem also gave them access to God-fearing people from every nation from around the region. And they did not hesitate to declare the wonders of God in a variety of languages. Peter, for one, was not reluctant to raise his voice and address the crowd. And he stood up and said, my fellow Jews, and all of you who are in Jerusalem, listen to me. Pay attention to what I'm saying. So they were filled with God's Spirit. On Pentecost, the apostles discovered the secret to spiritual power. Right numbers, right size, right place. And that is the kind of power we can employ today. Because you see, we benefit from numbers, just as the first apostles did. Do you know when our commitment and our faith to Christ is most likely to grow? It's not when you're all by yourself. It's when we are in community with one another. All those one another's that Jesus talked about, pray for one another, encourage one another, love one another, honor one another, build one another up, be devoted to one another, comfort one another, be patient with one another, care for one another, serve one another, and on. Do you know where that happens? Not in isolation, but in community with fellow believers. And that's why we gather for worship and fellowship. And that's why we work together in ministry and mission. To be the church, we need to gather in numbers. Jesus is with us when we are together in community. Remember what he promised us in Matthew. For where two or three of you are gathered in my name, I am there among you. Now, of course, you know, we don't have to be just two or three, as has happened on rare occasions. No, the more the better, of course. But the point is, when we come together in community, it gives us the most inspiration and insight and guidance. When we stop taking part or disconnect, our faith tends to cool off. And if the isolation of the pandemic taught us anything, it is that gathering is a critical factor in the vitality of the church. And when we remain in community, we can also be more effective in ministry and mission. I can't buy 100 bottles of body soap to include in the welcome packages for those destitute women that will be coming to the homeless shelter. But I can buy 5 or 10, and you can buy 5 or 10, and before we know it, we have more than enough. And also individuals, you know, can have a brilliant and creative ideas. But if we're going to implement those ideas, then what we need is a team. Because when you're by yourself in ministry, you soon become frustrated and tired and burned out. And so for any effort to be successful, at least five passionate people must commit themselves to it. Because ministry and mission require numbers. Now, as Christians, we also need to be the right size. And this has nothing to do with your height or your weight. And it's not about the number of people in our congregation. What it means is that we as Christ followers need to be small enough to catch the wind of the Holy Spirit. When we do that, it'll enable us to act boldly in the world. Earlier I mentioned the wind catcher system, and small turbines spin quickly in high wind. I mean, look at the Apostle Peter in the book of Acts. He did not see himself as a big shot or a spiritual superstar. This is the guy, remember, who had denied even knowing Jesus 3 months, or three times just a few months before that. Peter had no special status in the religious world or financial communities of Jerusalem. He was exactly the right size to be a disciple of Christ. Why? Because even though he was small in the eyes of the world, he was big enough to speak the truth. And so he stood up and said to the crowd, "You are wrong to think that these people are drunk. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what God told the prophet Joel to say. When the last days come, I will give my spirit to everyone." And so Peter was just the right size to do what God wanted him to do, to share the good news with the people of Jerusalem. And finally, he said, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." He says, "The Lord will save everyone who asks for his help." And so our challenge is to make sure that we are the right size for ministry and mission. You may be a powerful manager at your job, but you can be the right size for donating soap to homeless women. You may be an influential person in the circles that you move in, but you can be the right size to guide a youth group or sing in the choir or the praise team or teach a Sunday school class. Because all that matters is that you be the right size for discipleship. And the final secret to spiritual power is place. What it means is being in the right place at the right time. Just like the apostles were in the right place, Jerusalem, at the right time, the day of Pentecost. The right place for you and me might be at home, or at work, or in the neighborhood, or in the gym, or at school, or in the grocery store, or in church. But like the wind catcher, we need to position ourselves correctly to catch the wind. We need to be open. Open to the working of God's Spirit in our lives. We need to be receptive to the promptings of God's Spirit, which can come at any time and in any place. Those moments when you sense that God is telling you to do something. One day up in Matamoros, where we lived before we moved here, I was buying groceries in one of the local grocery stores. And in front of me was a woman who had her things on the, you know, the, what do you call that? And as they were scanning them, she was counting up the numbers as each item was added. And she had this cake amongst all of her things. And when it came for ringing the cake, she looked at the numbers and she took the cake and she put it aside. And I don't know why, I mean, I just felt compelled to take the cake and to tell the cashier, please add this to us, but ring it to mine. Because in my mind, I had this idea of her kids, and she wants to take this cake for them, and now she can't afford to take them a simple cake. And it's really not a big example I'm giving you, but I felt the prompting of God's Spirit to tell me that, who told me in that moment to do that. And by the way, I felt that before and I didn't do it. And it was just a great feeling to be able to see your gratitude. So don't ignore the prompts of the Holy Spirit and miss the opportunity. You know that the apostles declared the wonders of God to a group of strangers. Who is the stranger that you need to approach? Peter stood up to a hostile crowd and he spoke the truth. Where do you need to take a stand about something that is important to you and to God? The apostles were pushed into the streets by God's powerful Spirit. What's the step that you need to take in response to the movement of God's Spirit? On this Pentecost Sunday, know that the wind of God is blowing. So let's catch it and share God's power with the world. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, we are thankful for this day to see the incredible change that took place in those apostles when your Spirit entered their lives. And we know that your Spirit is in everyone who believes in you. And you give us strength and power. And you speak to us and you prompt us to do certain things. Make us, enable us to be obedient. And thank you also that you give each and every one of us a spiritual gift that we can use for your glory and for your church. May we never shy away of the gifts that you give us and not use them for your kingdom. Empower us and enable us, Lord, to catch the wind of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.